is Niles McFlower, and I'm your host for Why Life Is. And tonight, I thought because of the fact that we're running into the holidays, that we would talk about the energy of holy days. Now, I've done shows like this sort of before, around these times of the year, actually. And I thought tonight we'd talk about the specific energy and how it has an effect on people. And why is it that holidays, particularly religious holidays, have such a coinciding position to one another? In other words, it's unusual, but still fairly consistent, that in some religions, the holy days or holidays that the religion observes coincide with other religions or come close to them. So let's talk about some of this and see if it is not exactly coincidence, if you believe in that word, or is it based upon some other factor? And that's what the show is really going to be about. Okay, so what is the energy of holy days? Why is it different on a holy day than on some other time of the year? And what is the energy anyway at this time of the year? But I'll talk about some other times of years as well. And how does that play on to us? I mean, most people think that astrology has something to do with them. I mean, I shouldn't even say most. Some people, but a lot of people do. They have different viewpoints on that, where it has an, or why it has an effect on them. But nonetheless, I would say that quite a few people think that astrological signs and times and positions of stars, etc., have an effect on people. And my explanation for this is really based upon senses. That's our senses, but senses of anything that can sense, living things have senses, and on energy. Now, a non-living thing may have a sense, by the way. I want to bring that into the situation, too. But living things have multiple senses. So let me talk about the energy aspect. Because if there is a source of energy, then there is a receiver of energy at some point in that energy's existence. It could take billions or trillions of years, but it does mean that a source of energy eventually leads to a receiver of energy. Now, you could say to yourself, okay, so what's so big about that deal? Okay. Why is that important? Well, people who have senses, or us, living things with senses, are receivers of energy, but they also can be sources of energy as well. So that gets it into a more complex issue, which hopefully it'll start making some sense as I continue on. So there's sources of energy. Most sources of energy come from fairly, we'll say, substantial energy producers when we're talking about, we'll say, a planet. So the sources of energy that affect a planet may come from the planet itself or from other exterior sources that we are somewhat familiar with, such as stars, and in some cases other bodies of energy and collections of stars as well. Then, in addition to that, we ourselves produce energy, human beings do, and in some cases we redirect energies, and we produce energy from within ourselves, from the food we eat. We create energies. And there's energy that runs through us that we're unaware of most of the time from the planet we're on. It goes through us, even if we don't eat anything. So there's all kinds of sources of energy around us. And some of those sources have a dramatic effect on us. Most of them have some effect on us. So all of this is running around us. And we could say, well, okay, if it's always there, then why is one day any different from another? Why is tonight maybe a holy night and Sunday a holy day? What has that got to do with anything? Because the energies are running around all the time. People are alive all the time. Some people are. And so even if we're producing energies, why isn't one day no different than the next? Well, let's start with us. It might be easier. Human beings, when they focus their attention on a sense, have an effect on that sense. Sometimes they embellish and improve the sense. Sometimes they don't. Senses work by taking energy from outside sources and bringing a small amount of that energy into themselves to give us knowledge about what that source of the energy is like. So every time we sense something, we change the thing we're sensing because we're removing some small fraction of energy from it. Oh, you probably didn't know that. Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. You don't have to know that. But that's the way it works. And if you did know it, that's great. That's fantastic. Now, every time we take energy by focusing our attention then on a sense, we are changing the environment around us. Now, let's say that millions of people decide to focus their attention on a certain chakra, and the sense is connected to it. There's seven chakras. And in doing so, they start sensing a lot more of a specific thing in the environment. Wow, that has an effect, because you're talking about millions of people, and it has an effect on the sources of energy outside of ourselves, and it can lower the energy, or in some cases, in an odd way, it can actually increase it. This time of the year, most people are focused on new beginnings, we'll say, in their life for various reasons, and I'll get further into that as we develop the show tonight. But I think it's important here to recognize, from the human standpoint, the fact that a lot of human beings are being stimulated to think more creatively at this particular time of year, partly because of stimulus in the environment, new life is around us in spring, and the visions of that new life that begin in spring. And, of course, spring technically began a couple of weeks ago, but it's still looking from our perspective as the thing that's encouraging our senses. And that, along with some other more remarkable kinds of energies, is getting a lot of people to focus on creation and purpose, will, things that are, some people call, the first type of energy that God created, seven kinds. And it's reflected in a ray, because in some cases this energy is directed, just like we're talking about right now. When I focus on my first ray sense, which comes from my crown chakra, and I think about how creative in certain ways I want to be, and I have a lot of choices that I make to improve that creative side of myself, then the results can be that I then start affecting that kind of energy around me, and I have a change in myself as well as the environment. If millions of people do this on the same day, very big things actually happen. People, when they connect together anything on a large level by the use of energy, actually can improve a number of things about themselves. First, it's what the energy does, which is to create more, so they become more creative together. They develop more consciousness if they choose to recognize that they have a commonality in their creation with others. And then, when their consciousness increases because they see the connection between themselves and others, they may choose later on, it may not happen for months later, but they may choose later on to then act on, take actions on this sort of energy. But the beginning of it begins with a sense of the energy, and at this time of the year, it tends to be mostly on the creative side. And so the holy days of this time of year have to do with, we might say, new beginnings, creation anew. Some people call it the rebirth. Some people call it the, we'll say, the resurrection. These are times when people look at and consider some type of, we'll call it, substantial change and improvement in themselves and in others. Now, when millions of people do sense the energy, and I'm going to get into the deeper side of this, talking about energies from outside of humans in the future. But when millions of people do this, they create a dramatic effect on the entire world, because they are altering the environment by their sense, and they're changing their relationship with the other people who are doing something similar, even if they're not celebrating the same holiday, religious-wise. They are functioning in their sense of the same holy day. Okay? So let's say you have a million Christians and you have a million Jews in a specific country, all focused on this particular holiday. Well, then that makes it into a holy day because, number one, their consciousness is going to be increased, but also they're becoming more creative at the same time. This is all going on right now. And we will see it culminate on Sunday and then slowly wane. It takes about 2.5 days on each side of this event. And it's kind of interesting that it is happening right now. But there's more to it than what I've just said. If we go beyond Earth, and most people have trouble doing that to some extent, because, oh, okay, what's it like out there, you know? We're still trying to figure out what our own planet is like, right? That's okay. But in ageless wisdom, some of the ideas and concepts come from the perspective that this world is one of many worlds, vast number, that have life on them. And in some ways, all worlds have some form of life in some dimensional sense, but maybe not the physical one we're in right now. So this is a pretty big deal because it turns out that just like when we focus our attention through our senses onto a holy day, if other planets are focusing their attention on Earth and the stars of those planets and the beings connected to those stars are also focusing their attention on Earth. Are you starting to follow this now? That has a much bigger effect than just humans doing it. But the two actually synonymously come together and builds a huge holy day, or days, actually holy days, that for a number of days can, at this particular time of year, increase our wills and purpose and give us more choice. And at the same time, and the seeking of freedom, by the way. And at the same time, we are being connected to these other beings, even though we don't know anything about them. And they are getting connected to us, and they may know something about us. So this is a pretty big deal, because now we're talking about a connection across hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of light years from other galaxies also, but certainly within our own, hundreds of thousands of light years. So it is a big, big deal. And you could say, well, okay, what proof do we have of this? Well, there is some. There's more than enough proof, if you've ever watched ancient alien programs, there's more than enough proof that we've been visited by other beings who were like us a long time ago in some cases. But nonetheless, the idea that these beings, if they could get to this planet across outer space, as we call it, they have very advanced consciousnesses, and even if they came here at an earlier time in their own development, they were more advanced for sure than we were at that time, and probably much more than we are today. So in looking at it from that perspective, these beings are seeking the betterment of human beings for the most part. A few planets may be very wayward and want to and overcome by evil, and they may want to do some destructive acts, but they're most of the time kept away from Earth. Although if Earth connects with them and the energy they put out, they could actually be brought here. And even if they're not brought here, instead of having holy days, we could have evil days, dark days, if those beings were to connect with us. They do try to do that, by the way. They don't pick the same holy days that the good folks do, because they would be coming significant. But since they don't pick those days, they pick other days that convince people to do more hostile, negative things. Well, another thing that seems to help, and this is going to sound very kind of new agey, is that during full moons, there is a better chance for these energies to be sensed by people, because the astral senses are exaggerated, or are fine-tuned, maybe is the better word, during the period of the full moon, about 2-3 days before and 2-3 days after, and the waxing and waning periods. And so you have this effect coming, because one set of our senses in our astral body is, we'll say, given a boost at that particular time. Now, if your senses are very dark in that body and your other ones, then the full moon isn't going to particularly help developing the sense of energy during the holy days. But then again, that's a whole other story. For most people, it's helpful that these holidays or holy days are present during the full moon. And you might say, wait a second, is that true? It's usually during the full moon? Yep, that's right. Go look outside and see what I'm talking about. All right, so this is the interesting point about this. These things are not accidents. They are happening because of the energy of the holy days. So many people get confused, thinking, well, they don't know what to think sometimes, but some people think that it's kind of the cart running the horse thing. They don't really understand what's really causing what to happen when. Okay. So this is a very interesting subject, because basically it shows how we are so integrated into our world, into the universe, that we can't detach in any, we'll say, physics sense from this sea of energy that we're within. Sure, we could detach in a spiritual sense from certain negative aspects of it, but we're constantly being inundated with various energies that have profound effects on on how and who we are. Wow. Okay, so then the people, the folks that live very far, far away in other worlds are actually most of the time more advanced than us. And they are putting out energy that is directed to and towards us. Now, when I say people, these folks may not be even human anymore, and most of them may not be. And they may be superhumans of various stages of superhumanity. And some of them are actually the consciousness that actually fulfills the development of stars themselves. So that's why some suns, some stars have an effect on Earth more than others, because they're paying more attention. And when they pay attention to Earth, the energy from them has a much greater effect on us. Now, you could say, well, why can't we pay attention to them? Yeah, okay, you could try that, but there's zillions of stars up there, 4,000 or 5,000 as you can see with the naked eye. Maybe not in the city, but if you go out in the country. And still, we don't pay any attention to them the way these other people who live out there are doing to us. Because they want to help us. They want the holy days here to help us find God through our senses. And to stop, if they can, the dark side from encouraging us on other days to practice very dark selfish ways. So this is an interesting parallel when you look at it, that we are so integrated into the universe that potentially thousands of stars and planets, etc., with untold numbers of beings beyond humans, are paying attention to this little planet. You could say, well, why would they do that? What's so important about Earth? Well, they do it with a lot of other worlds, too, but Earth is important. Earth is important because it's failing and because it needs to succeed to develop a way of overcoming some of the worst forms of evil. We're a laboratory for it. So helping us out by sending us some godly energy is not a bad deal. And it helps us in some ways. The people who are most tuned in to their own creator are going to be most affected by the holy days. I don't care if they know anything about what I'm saying. Just the fact that they have some spiritual side to themselves will be all they need. All right, well, some of this is hopefully building to a general sense of understanding about how come there are certain days that clearly humans are very, we'll say, more inner reflective and spiritual about. And it isn't just about one religion, it's about a whole bunch of them. Now, what can you say then about people who have opposite holidays or different holidays? They may be along a different ray line in terms of the focus of where they're coming from. And the rest of the planet isn't presently mostly along that. So they have a very different viewpoint on this. And there are some worlds that are atypical and that help out by focusing their energy on Earth. For those much smaller number of people, it's still worthwhile and helpful for them. They may not be in the majority by any stretch. Generally speaking, holy days are created by beings so far advanced from human, it's hard for us to understand the process. And they're carried out by a system of reflection from one kingdom to the next, lowest to the next lowest, and so that we don't always know why we're doing the things we're doing or why we're having an effect or reacting to an effect on certain conditions. But we still know in some ways that it is a spiritual thing. Our ability to understand is limited. And so this puts us in this unusual position. We have a sense of our own creator, but we don't necessarily understand how that creator creates. And that allows a lot of illusion and misunderstanding about God. And this is true whether you're in a religion or not. I don't want you to think it's just for one or the other. Okay, so energy, the energy of holy days is a very special thing. It helps all of us to change from a more dark side to a more enlightened one. And it's deliberately in the, we'll say, plan for Earth, but at the present time, most people are unaware of this plan, and few people practice all of the attention that they need to use on these energy of holy days because they do not have enough understanding of what it is they're dealing with. They may focus it onto a specific figure, Christ, or possibly they may put it in a general context of it being God, but their understanding of what it is that God's interaction is with them is very parochial and even at times virtually, we'll say, unintelligently understood. They don't get the whole meaning of what it does, but they may practice some elements of it as part of a religion or as some habit that they've had for a while. The definite and profound results of this system has kept Earth afloat in some of its worst of times. If there weren't holy days, Earth wouldn't be here today. I know that sounds like hyperbole. Well, why is it so important? Well, sometimes the only thing that has saved humanity and the planet itself has been the few holy days that exist helping get us get over the terrible conditions which have been accelerating and damaging, destroying life on Earth. These conditions are all connected to evil. So holy days help expunge evil and to also give us a chance to get over some of the more serious digressions into it. So holy days are very important because without them, eventually, the human race fails and then the planet will fail. Okay, wow, this is pretty serious stuff. And I want to tell you some other things about holy days that you don't probably know. We think of ourselves living in this physical, rocky planet. And we think that this is mostly all the life there is. Some people believe in ancient aliens, so they'll say, well, there might be some life out there, but what the heck? We don't know it, we don't interact with it, but they think. But there's another side to this. There are people living in the astral subworld. Very large numbers. And then there are other people living in the mental lower world, or we'll call it the more concrete thought world of mental existence. And those numbers are fairly big. This is the point. Those folks also are focusing in on the energy I just suggested. They exaggerated more based upon the energy that they live within and by and in their consciousness. So people who are in the astral world have much more, we'll call it emotional kind of or astral kind of energy. And that's the part that they exaggerate when they focus their senses. And the same is true in the mental or monastic world. It's good that they do that, because here in the physical world, we are mostly absent of our sense of feeling or feeling, which would be astral or emotional. And then we're equally or more so unsensible or insensible about our mental senses. And things that come from those dimensions that help us to bolster that are great. And one of those things is the attention during holy days of people living within those dimensions. I know most people don't recognize that there is a sense of religious structure, and more than that, a very strong sense of God in both the astral and the mental worlds. And there is that sense. It's also different than the physical world, because in the physical world we're in the most illusion, and we have very limited sense of our astral nature or our mental nature. So these other folks that are focused on that from their own dimension, outside of this room, do us a world of good, because they help everybody to gain more and better senses within those two bodies. And once it does that, that's really helpful. So people who are dead from here but alive in the subdimensions are consistently helping us to be able to connect with and to live closer to God, especially during holy days, because that's when they can do it better. And not surprising, maybe, they do it collectively in the higher subworlds, especially in the astral higher subworlds. And then in the mental worlds, those people who are awake do it. And they actually collectively get together and they try to help people who are physically alive here on Earth. And please remember this, that the people living in Earth's astral domain are somewhat disconnected from people living in other planets, particularly physical planets, because then they would have some physical life on it. But they can team up with other planets that usually are more advanced again to help get their astral energy connected to us better, so that we will become more conscious. And we will become more godly. And this is done on a calendar kind of basis, following the holy day of various religions. Wow. So when we think that we're isolated and alone, we're far from that. And when you think about the amount of effort being put to help us stay focused on what we're here for, it's considerable. And people do try very hard to achieve these amazing results. Okay. So all these hidden things that I'm revealing, I guess. And interestingly, it's during the holy day that people might have contact, better contact, with relatives who have passed on. And that's because they're thinking of them more, and the folks who have passed on are thinking of the people here more, and the energies can improve that connection and sense, giving us a different perspective of what life is after death, and not being as fearful of life in general, and in many ways producing a dynamic that is profound. And we don't even know what's happening. Now, some people say, yeah, I do know. I know because on these holy days, I feel not only better connected to my friends, family, and people who are celebrating them with me, but I also feel better connected to the people who have passed on. Some people do experience that. You might try that yourself and see if any of this checks out. Because it should, if it's true, and you should be checking on me. All right. Then, where does that lead us in terms of finishing up the beginning statements about holy days and energies? Well, this is a great time of the year to be looking at all of the evil that we think there is in the world and deciding what is the best plan for, in a creative way, for getting rid of or destroying the evil and bringing more light into the world. This is a good time, a very good time right now. And a time for being closer to our Creator, O God. A time for building connections in consciousness with others and helping them to gain some of this wonderful, we'll say, focus of energy that may greatly improve everyone's senses, by the way. So this is also a good time of the year to work on improving your senses, because there's a good chance you will if you do it now. Isn't that terrific? Also, it's a good time to help other people to reach a more spiritual place in their life. You may say, oh, well, I feel pretty good about myself, but what about everybody else? Let's say that your life is just terrific. What about the other folks who are experiencing a nation of problems? What about them? And the answer there is that we all can be of service to those around us, particularly at this time. You don't have to do it in a religious sense. You need to do it in a sense of being aware of and conscious of, and seeking to create more of, God. That's where it's very helpful. So I want you to consider that, and then when we come back from break, we'll talk about some of the issues in today's world and how the energy of holy days could be much more practically used if just people knew it existed. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we're talking about the energy of holy days, which does have something to do with many religious holidays. And so far, if you've been with us, you know that energy is having a big effect on this particular subject. All right, so in a practical sense, what are we looking at from our daily lives and the kinds of things that holy days may be of some assistance with right now? Well, the biggie, probably, that Earth is dealing with is the desire for evil to enslave, that's what I can describe it, other humans, or humans, through power and control, and through mental propaganda, and through a misplaced or misguided emotionalism that isn't love. So we're dealing with these really awesome, huge subjects that we aren't doing that great with. And the energy of holy days right now, in my opinion, you know, may not believe this, but is to help to break through, even destroy, some of these more seriously grown forms of evil, especially the ones dealing with the mental side, but the other two as well. And the concept here is that most holy days do not mean the same today as they did 50 years ago or 100 years ago. The world itself has changed dramatically. The third ray going out and the fourth ray coming back in and the changes in that formula has also changed the nature of holy days. Today, a holy day in terms of comparison is about changing the inner light of people and getting them to become more forceful, even willful, especially this particular holy days, one's coming right now, against evil. And it's difficult because evil is constantly challenging this process. Now, how are we going to do it? Well, it's a tough one because things may have to get worse before most people recognize the evil that does exist in the world. So most people at the present time do not recognize the evil, and so how can they therefore use a holy day to help get rid of evil if they don't even recognize evil exists? You can see the problem here. It is a potentially serious one. And for the people who are aware of the evil in the world, they then need to choose whether they want to deal with it from a strictly narrow, we'll call it, I'll refer to it that way, religious view of how to proceed, well, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to do this or that. Or if they're going to look at it from a more universal position, that there's all these helping energies coming from all over the place, outside of Earth and inside and everywhere else, that may be the better alternative, because religions and evil kind of got stuck at the time when a specific kind of evil was happening, and the religion created a certain amount of canons and belief structure and also holiday structures and various rituals. And all that happened at a time that's no longer this time. And the evil from that time is mostly not the evil of today. That causes these religious practices to sometimes become superfluous and meaningless. So you can see from the standpoint that I'm coming from, and I'm not trying to convince anybody to change their religion, but maybe expand their viewpoint from it just being a religious solution to maybe a consciousness solution, or to a integral with their soul solution. Something is different from just the way that their specific religion tells them to both behave and to, well, say, go through various ceremonial practices, which may not do much other than getting people to think about the energy of the holy days at the same time on the same day with others. That may be better than nothing. All right. So this is we're looking at it from a pretty narrow window, actually. But if we try to widen it a bit, this is the time to try to find how evil is reducing freedom. Now, it's working in many different ways. And part of those ways is in the political arena. Part of those ways is in the economic part of life. And many of those ways has to do with, we'll say, spiritual awareness and education or consciousness. These things are coming together, and other planets and other beings and other people in other dimensions of our own planet are trying to get those of us who are in illusion, living in the physical world, to awaken to these other issues, and then to try to do something about them by being a block to the evil that's growing at the same time. It's a tough one to do, because for many people, to just recognize the amount of evil that is in the world and how much holy days could be holding it back from doing even worse things is beyond their capacity. And for some people, it's frightening, and they feel disabled, immobilized because of its threat, and also because they don't want to sense it. So they run away from it. If that's you, and you happen to be listening right now, this is a good time to maybe change your viewpoint about that. You usually do better if you do this with several other people or more, because the fear that can come from doing it alone is fairly intense. Evil is no easy subject. It's very tough to deal with. And one person usually gets devoured by it in one way or another. You really need a number of people working together for a common goal, which is usually involved getting closer to the God or to God or their creator. And that's the point where you start realizing, gee, I can do something. Because you have help, and there's more than one, and you're not as isolated and alone. So for all these reasons, this is, really important that we work on this awareness But we work on not just the moon. Don't just sit around and meditate about it. Communicate with others and find ways to practically make changes. Now, when I say practically make changes, I'm not talking about changes in the way that you observe a holy day. I'm talking about how you're going to use the energy of the holy days, how you're going to use other energies as well, to specifically reveal evil to others while you help to eradicate it here. Wow. And the chance of doing this is not real high, but it's worthwhile. Because today, evil is growing. It's not getting less. And the ability to change it through the holy days is diminishing. Because the holy days have trouble keeping their consciousness, meaning, in one place. They don't see the relevance of that. And it can produce some really disastrous results. And the main reason they don't do it is because they're afraid. They're afraid of it. That's why everybody says to me about this subject, well, we all can sense evil. Well, kind of. Most people I talk to don't think there is such a thing as evil. Really? It's true. It's at least 51%, over half, don't believe there's even evil. And some of them claim to be very religious. So don't think that that's connected directly. To get around this requires that a person has to be somewhat fearless. And that fearlessness gets tested pretty quick. Because the dark side doesn't want people to suddenly become fearless and then go after them. They'll try to keep you from gaining that understanding, and if they can't stop that, they'll try to scare you out of your wits, even thinking about using something from that. So it's a big problem. And the answers are, unfortunately, within each of us to overcome these fears and to develop ourselves into something exemplary in the light of God. I mean, it's okay to say, well, I'm going off to fight evil. But the fight, the greatest fight, is evil within. The connections evil has already over us as individuals. That's where the point is. That's where disciplining yourself in a mental or astral or physical way is helpful. Because it builds the tools that you're going to need. Wow. Okay, so in some circumstances, people look around and they say, well, I'm so insignificant. It doesn't seem like anybody really cares about this stuff. Why bother? And the answer is you've got to go inside yourself enough to find it for yourself. But I believe what you'll find is that Earth is a pivotal planet. There's no such thing as a disposable 6 or 7 billion people. You got to have a great love and understanding for even the worst of humans. And you need to have a sense of, we'll say, total conviction that no matter how bad things are, this is a worthwhile challenge to come in and do something about it. Although, I'll tell you, trying to get there is a tough one. And that's where the energy comes from. What comes into play. It's recognizing our own weaknesses that allows us to become more sensitive to and more accepting of the energy of holy days. So it's okay to admit to yourself you're fearful, you're weak. You may not be able to do what needs to be done. But then you're much more open to getting help and much more open to the energy of this time of year. So it isn't such a bad thing to feel that way. I wouldn't want everybody to feel that way all the time. But once in a while, it may bring us to our senses. That's the end. But what I'm really talking about here is that it will give us a true sense of what evil is and a true sense of what God is and good is, and we won't be doubtful or confused. Well, that's really important. Because the amount of doubt and confusion is the amount we're going to significantly lose in this battle. We don't need either of those, that's for sure. All right, so, being even more specific, we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, but I just want to, I'll mention the subject and then we'll come back to it. So being even more specific then, what can we do in a medium, short-term to medium-term sense to make a difference? And I want you to think about that, but I'm going to make a couple of suggestions before I talk about something else here for a few minutes. And that is that we can make a difference. We can change the whole world. And the first thing is we have to reveal to others the darkness that is preventing this world from moving ahead. That means you're going to need to do a lot of communication with people who may not be very open to the ideas that you're saying. You can't force them to listen. You have to convince them to listen. They have to trust and believe in you to hear what it is you have to say. Then you're in a great position, because then you've got some way you can make it so that others are going to get it. So think about that. And I just want to change the subject, give your brain a rest, and help you out. A couple of things I wanted to mention, and that is that, I had to get the sheets here. I'm going to do a metaphysical discussion over at Barnes & Noble at the Tempe Marketplace on April 16th. And if you can attend, come. Because this is just an opportunity to talk about whatever questions, thoughts you have, whatever you want to know about, you can ask the question, and hopefully I can have some kind of reasonable answer for it. And it's also an opportunity for actual discussion, not just questions and answers, but I'm going to bring more of a interactive reality to the situation. Hopefully I can accomplish that. A lot of times when I go and talk, people want to just hear me, but they don't want to interact. And this is going to be more of an interaction. So come on by. It's Monday, April 16th from 7 to 8:15 p.m. And it's at Barnes & Noble, Tempe Marketplace. That's off of McClintock Drive, and just a little ways from University Drive. So if you want information, you can call 480-966-3132. There's no charge for this, by the way. Just come spend about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes, whatever it's going to be. And we'll just spend some time together talking. For those of you who have never met me, hey, great opportunity to come and do that. And if you have before, this is a way to get reacquainted. So it's going to be an interesting evening. That's Monday, April 16th, 2012, of course. And I want to talk to you about 5-Chi Jizik. If you haven't tried it, you should. It's a great product. It helps people to get over many different kinds of aches and pains. It's an analgesic. It works on the majority of people who use it, vast number, actually. Probably over 90% of people who get relief. And you can get some at buyjizik.com, buyjizik.com, or you can call 602-431-5762. Now, Phi-Chi-Jizik, and it's spelled with Q-I in the middle, so it's P-H-Y-Q-I-G-E-S-I-C, is really using the energy of the chakras within our bodies to alter this energy and to help us to release what we have as a sensation of pain, coming mostly from divinic energies that are not happy about the level of energy that they either have or don't have. It could be too much or too little, but that is what leads to their sense of what we call pain. And Jizik rebalances the energy for most people so that they don't experience pain. It can also allow you to be able to literally sense better. So this is a good time to consider Phi-Chi-Jizik because we're talking about holy days where sense is a real important issue. And it also can bring to you a sense of relief from long-term pain that you've had and that you can't find any relief from. So you've got a really great opportunity. Try it, because if it doesn't work, you get your money back. Hey, you can get to use it, and if you don't like it, you get your money back. So that is not a bad deal. Phi-Chi-Jizik, phi-chi-jizik.com. All right. So getting back to tonight's show, and let's talk about this in terms of how we're going to make some changes in the world, I hope. The energy of holy days is really a time for us to experiment and to see if we can collectively make a difference. Now, it isn't just, I don't want you to think this, it isn't just you thinking about it. Energy is meant to take action with in most circumstances. So you want to plan on doing something. Doing something may be just interaction, maybe communication, maybe teaching of something, and maybe getting people to listen to some of the shows you hear on the station, including mine. It may be a lot of other things, but it's doing something that's important. And again, the greatest amount of change we need in the world today, I guess we could start singing what the world needs now, it isn't love. I know there's a lot of people who say, well, that's part of the song. Yeah. It's actually an opening of awareness. I know this seems like it doesn't make a lot of sense, but if most people were aware of the darkness of realness, they would reject it. And they would change their votes if they had a vote. They would change their style of living, where they put their money and time and energy. And they would be more concerned about some of the terrible things that are happening not just in their own backyard, but everywhere, because they would see more that the world is one in some respects today. Most of the oneness in the world is not based upon love or consciousness or God. It's based upon darkness. And that's a terrible thing. Terrible. We can change that. Just becoming aware of it changes it to some degree, particularly if you focus on it during the holy days right now, the next 5 days would be good. Let everybody you know that you have some increased consciousness, some increased awareness that there's a dark side that is around us. That doesn't mean you should ignore the side of light. It doesn't mean you should say, well, I'm only going to concentrate on the dark side around us. No, I just want you to become fully aware of it, or as much as possible, and help others to. And also, I certainly want you all to experience love, to experience God in all of its beingness, but not so that you ignore the problems that we are facing. Don't do that. Don't ignore. The Pollyanna, in whatever viewpoint you may have of it, is a serious danger to existence. You know, there's some people and some religions that teach us to turn the away, turn the cheek, let's be peace-loving only, give peace a chance, that's all they're asking. And you know what? Those are laudable ideas in a different world, not this one. In this world, if that's your idea, it won't be long before you get eaten. Bad things can happen if you ignore the bad things that have already happened. Now, we should never center only on evil. So let's talk about the creative elements of this time of the earth beyond that point, okay? And some of the creative things to changing ourselves into the light of God is to recognize that we have to make significant sacrifices. Now, we can say, well, what's a significant sacrifice? A significant sacrifice is giving up anything that stands between you and God as an obstacle toward you becoming more spiritual, whatever it is. There are zillions of them, so I can't give you a laundry list because it won't help. There's really too many to count. There's every human being has a kind of their own set. But we can change ourselves through creating wondrous new ways of being closer to our Creator. Each time you practice a virtue, each time you look to create more light and form, you're doing just that. And part of the energy of Holy Days is to increase this sense of virtue in all of us, to become more creative of life in everything about us and within us. Holy Days makes it easier because other people will work together with us if we choose. That's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. And so I want you to consider that. I really do. And think about it from this standpoint, that in each one of the elements of where you can create light or virtue, you have usually many options. I suggest sacrificing the most sacrifice you can, which means doing the most difficult form of creation, and start from that side. If it doesn't work for you, then move to the next easiest. Don't start with the easiest. Now, why is that? Well, the people who generally start with the easiest never get to the hard. That's the way it is. Well, that was easy. I'll do some more easy stuff. And when you start with the bigger sacrifices, the sense of accomplishment is so great. And it's so wonderful that if you only pay attention to the very easy, simple things to be virtuous, you may really be shortchanging yourself. Joy and bliss are the outcomes of such endeavors, provided that you're doing high levels of sacrifice while you're doing it. Sacrifice, again, is giving up those things that keep us from being with and part of God, part of Okay, so that's a genuine help for some people, maybe anyway. The thing that does help is if you introduce some level of spiritual discipline involved with the sacrifice. Now, what is that? What is spiritual discipline? That someone coming in with a spiritual whip and whipping you or something? You know? No! Discipline is on an inner scale. It's about what's going on inside you. Instead of spending your time and energy just dealing with the material world. Spend your time and energy in ways that sacrifice some of your material side and other things as well, so that others are improved, so that in some way this will be of service to others. It may involve a material thing, but the purpose of doing it is to be of service to others. And the more it's about others and not about yourself, the better off you'll be, the more it will be helpful, especially during the holy days. Now, does that mean you can't do it any other time? No, you can do it any time you want. You can do this all the time if you want. It's just that a lot of people only have, you know, so much they can muster, and then they kind of run out, and they have to build up again. So if you're getting in that, if that's the space you're in, that's where you find yourself now, well, then do what you can when you can, and I guess you can skate the rest of the time, but do as much as you can, as often as you can, and pick sacrifices that are bigger than smaller. And if you find yourself failing, don't chastise yourself. Just say, well, okay, next time I'll try to be more sacrificial. Next time I'll try to be more unselfish. Next time I'll try to be more creative. Maybe next time I'll find others to be helping together with instead of doing this pretty much isolated, because that's not a good way to do it. So these are the opportunities that we have. This is the choice that we can make in this situation, in this way, to build up our sense of virtue and creation of light and form. This is a tool that we can use, and it's best used during the energy of holy days. This next month that we are in is about creation. Therefore, we must sacrifice the time and the energy we use to not create. Most of the time, that energy is recreation, or it is nullification, or it's rest, or it's darkness, destruction, debauchery, you name it. It gets into all of these elements, and yet we have the choice. We always do have the choice to go in a different direction. Now, some folks prefer a more structured plan to them, and the idea of being self-created and self-creatable is foreign. They want a structure, somebody telling them how to do it and when, etc. Those people, at this time of year, are best served through a structured religion. They are not ready to be independently creating virtue, because if they try it, they would only find a lack of ability to be disciplined, and therefore a sense of failure. So if you find yourself that that's what's happening, don't just keep having a sense of failure, then go with a more structured method if necessary, because it will help you out to some extent. And don't have to always succeed. Some people say, well, I didn't really do it. Well, you did. You changed yourself enough so that you disciplined yourself enough to try to at least try. So it is not such a bad thing. And failure is oftentimes the case when we're trying to make a lot of big changes in ourselves. The other thing is the energy of holy days can be extremely powerful, and some folks don't have the, we'll call it, the sustainability of using that much energy. It literally just is too much for them. They're confused, their emotions get upside down, confused. The other side of it is that each time you try and you fail, the next time you can learn from the time before, and you may be more successful. So don't look at it as, gee, I've got to get this done all at once or so, right away. It doesn't work that way. And some people, like I said, can't deal with as much energy as we're talking about. So they need a much less deep path. And that's okay. That really is okay. Okay, so if we also look for the challenges of this kind of, we'll call it spiritual discipline, a lot of people don't want to be necessarily some kind of spiritual guru. They would like to have more meaning in their life. They would like to have a life that isn't riddled with contradictions and serious meaninglessness. That's okay. You don't have to have any particular life script. I'm talking in general. And using the energy of holy days is a way of boosting yourself. And then maybe you will fall back. Maybe you won't be as spiritual as you were during those few days. But at least you've made some headway. You've gone some few steps ahead. Falling back isn't a real weird thing. It happens a lot. It's not trying at all. That's probably the more serious problem. Definitely. So the next month is sacrifice, creation, and how long does that last for? Does it only last a month? No, it goes on for the rest of the year. But it does so in taking on many different colors and changes with the Creator, us, being unique in some individual ways. So no two people are going to end up with the same life. Each is living their life in a way which is unique for them. And that's the way the system is. And that's the way it's supposed to work. And that's a good thing, believe me. All right, so then what's after that? What comes next? Well, some people call this the Festival of Aries. It's because of the sign, etc. But, you know, it's really the Festival of Creation. First ray energy. The second one is a bit different. It's more feminine than masculine. It has with it Taurian, some people call it, kinds of energy if they're into astrology, but again, it's way bigger than that. And, you know, and some people refer to it, if they're into metaphysics and angel's wisdom, they'll say it's the Waysock. It's a funny word, Waysock. But what is it really? It's a time when instead of focusing in on creation and sacrifice, and sometimes destruction of evil, it's a time to be finding yourself in balance. The time when the fourth ray becomes very, very important, and the second ray even more important. And it's a kind of strong sense of unity among and between all life. Again, other worlds. Focus the energy of the holidays in that particular genre. And their purpose is to bring universal kinds of love, unconditional, here on Earth, and to bring people closer together. Have them find that they are not so different. That there is a common everything between them. This is probably the most favorite of metaphysical spiritual holidays. Because a lot of people like that kind of energy. And that energy is abundant the month following from now. It is an energy that leads people into a sense of much greater understanding of others, of crises, of love, of a place to make sure that you can be one with many. All right, so how long does that last? Well, that's another month, actually. And again, it has about a 5-day spread on the way the energy builds up, it peaks, and then it goes down. But the important element here is that in looking at how this whole thing is going to turn out, this is the year that these holy days are going to be most needed to offset, and I'm talking about for the next 12 months, are going to be most needed to offset a lot of the darkness that has been collecting in humanity for centuries or longer. And it will definitely help to have a lot of people who are more loving, more understanding, more connected together, more inclusive with each other. That will help. That should bring about the, we'll say, positive effects, a nurturing effect in a world that right now, in my opinion, is coming unglued and has way too much of what is called the third type of energy, affecting it in very hostile, violent, terrible ways. Really terrible ways. All right, so this particular time is a time when the holy days of the Waysak become a means for people to gain consciousness throughout the rest of the year as well. And gaining consciousness is like the ball game for a lot of people. It's a huge thing if you raise your consciousness. But it also has with it the sense of using our centers, our heart center in this case, more directed for universal love than for just being sentimental in our feelings. Probably the biggest mistake that people have in the month following from now is they become overly sentimental. They misappropriate the energies that are around them, which are pouring in during the holidays. And instead they lead themselves into a area of almost, we'll say, being made numb from the glamour of love. I speak about this and having gone to many events around this particular time and seeing how people misuse the energy. This is not unusual for humanity. It's done it for a long time. The thing that is unusual today is that so many people understand it so little that it's almost no longer what it ever resembled to be, which was a time to gain consciousness, a time to gain love for others, and a time to appropriately, as much as one can, teach anybody anything that was spiritual about anything else. So it was a very important time that has turned into a kind of self-grandizement, self-focused, and superficially about love. That's no good. That's not where we really want to be. So to get around that, I suggest that you find people who truly want to help other people understand everything and anything in the world today. That will lead to a better world, and it will allow people the opportunity to experience this energy in relatively unique ways. It's great. All right, so then where do we go from there? Okay, the last of the spiritual and metaphysical, in a sense, holidays is the Festival of Gemini, some people refer to it, in which the process is about the third ray and how to take what has been gained during the first two festivals and use them elsewhere. Now, in terms of other kinds of holy days that may revolve around this time, those kinds of holy days sometimes do not have any resemblance to what I just said, because the process has been lost. The real meaning of what is going on and the energies around us is lost. How did it get lost? Got lost because people are much better at beginnings than they are at completions. Easier to start something than it is to finish it. And this particular time, 2 months from now, is more about finishing things. It's more about making sure that it becomes applied to the physical world rather than staying in mental or astral form, for those of you familiar with the word white magic. It does something totally different than just at the moment. It does something that builds and creates things throughout the rest of the year as well as for years to come. One problem, though, the third ray right now is so imbalanced. It's been focused on Earth for 675 years, give or take, and, you know, it's a long time. And it has become exaggerated in our societies, and it has produced some negative effects. Wars and militarism, and so on. So we need to be particularly concerned that this does not become what comes out of the energy of this particular time. Some people call it the festival and seminar and whatever. Others just will call it the beginning of the rest of the spiritual year. But whatever you want to think of it, It is a damaged goods holy grail at this point. It has been trampled by the excessive rigidity and crystallization of third-ray energy, mostly in the chakras of human beings. And it has led to a lot of problems. I mean, serious ones. The only way to truly be involved with this particular part of the holy days and metaphysical holidays is to look at it from a standpoint that this is the time when you're going to communicate and take interaction with others to do the things that you cannot do alone or would not be well enough served if you did. That's why it's important to do a lot of planning a month before and during the wayside for what you're going to be doing during this time, because it'll carry through for the rest of the year. Does it matter what it is that you're going to interact with people? Well, it's something virtuous. Something's virtuous. It's up to you. You determine. You be the creator. And whatever you decide, it will be. That's the great part about it. So I want you to consider this. I want you to think about how this affects you. Now let's talk about some of the other religious holidays that, in some cases, follow the normative aspect of being holy days. These happen throughout the year. But a critical element about each one of them is that within them, all three of these more metaphysical holidays or holy days, or festivals, people call them that, is part of them. Yeah. Yom Kippur is part of it. Or you name the holiday. It's part of it. Rosh Hashanah. It's like the beginning of a new year. Each is a piece of this whole puzzle of different energies coming in. Now, have the energies stayed the same for 3,000 years or longer? No. Actually, they have waned and gone and changed. But the fact that human beings still recognize the holy energy, the holy day, may be all that matters. Really. And if there is some other factor involved, well, we can absorb some of that, use it through our own senses, and yet we could also be independent from it and be creative of different, we'll say, energies at different times. We're not saddled or forced to only observe what has been. Okay, so when we see how part of this is interactional on our part and how much others are thinking about it, and we look at how the world is teetering and has a lot of problems, there's so much that each individual can contribute and huge amounts that collections of people can. Should we be concerned that sometimes people don't react well to these times of year? No, because generally speaking, the people who are going to be asleep may stay asleep, and the people who are even reacting on the dark side, they're going to be there for a while. Our concern is to reveal everything that is happening and to help those who already are understanding to use this time more effectively. That's the best thing to do. Now, should you be working to destroy evil? Sure. That's fine. You can work to destroy evil. But not at the cost of throwing out the good with the bad. Be careful of those who want to do that. They oftentimes have hidden agendas for very terrible things that they want to do. So you don't want to follow that kind of thinking. All right, so where does that lead us to? Leads us to the next year in particular being probably the most important year in anybody's lifetime who is presently listening to me. The most important. Now, that sounds crazy. People say, oh, that's a 2012 thing or something, you know. Well, I've been talking about this for decades now, that this particular change in society, because of changing the Third Reich and moving towards the Fourth, is so basic and so tremendously strong that we really don't have anything to compare it to. There hasn't been anything like this in recorded history. So we can't say, well, it happened one moment. It didn't. It didn't happen. The Third Reich is going in and out, but not when it's developed itself in technology, which is what it's about, and all the things that we are used to in modern society like they are today. So when the Third Reich went out before, it didn't mean much. It's like, give me an example. It's like satellites, okay? If there was a big sunspot, and a sudden release of a, solar flare and energy coming towards the Earth 50 years ago, you know what? People might miss their favorite radio show. If the same thing happens today, with our reliance on satellites and computers, you know what happens? Society stops. You see what I'm talking about. The growth from the Third Reich has been huge, and the effects of disturbance from the crystallization of the Third Reich will be equally huge. It may not be a sunspot. It's more likely something we're going to do to ourselves. But regardless, it's serious and something we absolutely must keep ourselves aware of during this next year. Now, why is the next year worse than the year following? Well, because the Fourth Reich is going to start picking up. In the Third Reich, people will start adjusting to the problems in the Third Reich. The fact they're not communicating. The fact that no agreement can seem to be kept or made between anybody. I should say made or kept, but it doesn't matter. And that all forms of communication seem to be failing in one way or another. That's where we're headed for. And to change that, we need to deal with the stuff I've talked about so far in this program. All of the things that will help us through using holy energy, especially during holy days, and any other time that we can muster it to fight the effects. Now, is that the best we can do? Well, no, there's other things. Because with the Fourth Reich coming more in, we can start becoming more inner reflective, spiritual. We can use some of the beauty and the elements of the Fourth Reich that provide for many people a sense of spiritual expression in art and in beautiful elements of whatever is around us. We have that. We can do that. And I think that doing it is going to be a very helpful, addition to the world. We are out of balance. I'm sure most of you can feel that in the sense of we're out of balance with ourselves. Not so much we're out of balance with nature. A lot of people like to use that term. But it's really with us. We rely more on emails than we do on any real meaningful form of communication. Not a good idea. We are unable to convert most of the verbalizations that we may read about or express about creating virtue into an actual style of living. For most of us. That's a big difference. That's a big thing. And the changes are going in a direction now that I really think that during this next year we're going to have some serious, serious problems. The biggest problem, though, is from evil using this opportunity for changes to gain control in the societies of the world. The worst possibility is if evil fully inundates or takes over countries like the United States, which was until a few years ago the leading country in the world. The reason we're not the leading country today is because our leaders, and specifically the main leader, doesn't believe in the virtues that the country represents. So if you have that kind of thing, that's a problem. That's what elections are for. The thing here is to recognize what's going on and to make changes to it as soon as you can and to support those changes in whatever way makes sense to you as a great sacrifice. And also realize the, we'll say, metaphysical background that is taking place, causing these things to occur. And sharing it with others. Getting others to understand. Very challenging thing to do. A lot of people might think you're crazy, or, well, it's a bunch of nonsense, you know. But it really isn't. And for most people, if they're given the opportunity, they actually see it. They already become aware of it. I got it. Hey, yeah. I got it. They really do think that. All right. So, let me make some suggestions about the rest of this year. I won't have time, and I won't go into much past that. But in the meantime, these are some of the things that I want you to consider during these holy days. Resources are going to be difficult to have, physical resources in particular. So learn quickly what you need. Acquire it in a way that you can maintain it for at least a year. And be equally open to sharing with others and using with others those same resources so that the planet doesn't spin out of control into a dark abyss. Change the system of government if it's dark where you are, or moving in that direction. If you're fighting against extreme evil, if you're in Syria or someplace like that, well, do the best that you can under the circumstances. But it isn't necessary to die in order to win. So staying alive is not a sin. Being virtuous requires that we conserve what we have so that it can be used in the most appropriate way at the time and times coming in the future. That doesn't mean that some people may not choose to sacrifice even their life, because at that moment, that's the best they can do with it. But most people, I don't believe, are in that position. So staying alive is worthwhile. There are many other elements to this whole equation, if we're looking at the whole composite of the world. Be as outspoken as you can about freedom and encouraging the people who have lost the concept. Some people in Russia, I don't believe, have had much of a concept of freedom, and they have even less today. So we have countries moving away from freedom, away from a true Republican kind of democracy in which a person can state that they're free. And maybe get rid of the dictators. Or people that are in power but pretending that they're good guys and they're not. You need to have a greater sense of balance about who is doing what to whom and why. These are the things that will help during the next year. Collectively find others that are doing similar things. You may do them, believe me. In addition, write and communicate, talk, teach, get people to listen to shows like this. They're in the archives. They can hear any show I've done. Read. Communicate more about that. Absolutely. Try to find people who are seeking for an enlightened world, who aren't pacifiers or fantasizers, utopianites, people who have the desire to put in action through their own sacrifices the things that they believe in. And people who are complainers or want handouts or freebies or whatever, don't even give them the time of day. You don't have to be hostile towards them, but why waste any energy on them at all? This is the point, these are the points that I think will help get us through the next year, and following through on some of the energy of these holy days. Certainly by this coming Christmas time, at the end of this year, I'm hoping that we will be in a much better place, but it could be considerably worse. I'm telling you what I hope for, and I'm also realistic enough to know that it could be worse. So it's a real challenge for all of us alive now. We came here to serve. We came from our souls, wanted us to serve. We chose to be here. And now, in the midst of it all, some people are running and hiding. Others are being enslaved. And still others are just so self-focused, they just don't matter at all. Other than they get in the way sometimes. These are the things we've got to open ourselves to changing and making a difference. Finally, let's talk about if we can make it through the next year. Where do we go from there? Well, I can't, again, there's not enough time to go into all the future potentials, but the first step will be to allow those things that have been dark to destroy themselves. They're going to do it if you are vigilant about not letting them destroy you and destroy goodness. When darkness and evil is denied the opportunity to be destructive to others, it inevitably destroys itself because it doesn't have any other place to go get its energy from. It either steals it from us, who are not dark, or it eats up each other. It uses the energy to take from others of its own kind, which is self-destructive to you. Wow. That's what we would like to see happen. And working toward that goal is a good one. Also, a year from now, give or take, it would be good to be balancing out the materiality issues in your life with the spiritual ones. You may come to new realities that you don't need all the physical things you've got, maybe half for work, maybe more in some areas, but much less in others. You may come to conclusions about how you have lived within certain realms of what people call working for in time and energy compared to what you need to be of spiritual service, and maybe you'll re-regulate or change that concept. Yes, we're moving towards the darkest of times in recent memory, and it doesn't have to become a world war or some other terrible thing. If you're asking me, are the Israelis going to bomb Iran? I would say nearly 100% yes. Are they going to do it soon? Yeah. But that doesn't mean the world's going to end. Quite the opposite. So we need to be concerned mostly about establishing a better new sense of balance. And this new sense of balance will be in accord with making the world a more beautiful place. That makes every bit of sense to me. I hope it does to you. You know, we're going to have a time here when there'll be confusion and fear. But coming out of that, a year from now, may we all be much braver and willing to face any of the most challenging issues, and be willing to do so with great sacrifice, a non-fear of death, with the love of life, and with the recognition that the holy days have given us the opportunity to move ahead, because the energy that comes from them can be multiplied by all those who focus in on it. This is the future, maybe. And this is where we can head towards. I hope it will be yours. And I hope that the next number of holy days will be the equivalent of a regeneration towards light and love and power that will prevent that which is not those from succeeding, and from growing, and from taking over this world. Well, we're just about out of time. I hope this show has made some sense to you. The energy of holy days is not what you thought it was, probably, but now you've got some new thinking to think about. And this is also a good time to, if you want to, in the next month, study and learn something more about ageless wisdom, which is what I'm teaching. If you want to do that, you can pick up one of the books I've written, or you can look in the library or go online in other places. There's lots of it around, and it's very, very interesting. Try that on, too, and that may be helpful for you. Well, until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.